Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
BradPowerSports.com with us this hour handicapping. Brad, first item, start to finish, Ohio State look like the best team. At what point did Ohio State become an underdog to Clemson?
Oh, that's an excellent question.
First half of the Wisconsin game?
Yeah, maybe. And I think it was just a gradual upgrade for Clemson. They pretty much had one bad performance the whole season, but early on that's what everyone was pointing to, at least still in October and the early November. But when you're a Clemson team and you're the defending national champ, and I get it, you didn't play anybody, but the fact that you're two field goals away from being 12-1 against the spread, that's not too shabby when you're already paying kind of a premium on the defending champ. I just think people finally realize Clemson's might be, and we've seen it in the past with them, they tend to peak more towards November than what they look like in September and October. I mean, even in a national title year in 2016, they nearly lost to Troy in a game. I mean, they've had seasons where they lost to Pitt and still been fine. So, I just think people finally got over the North Carolina game, and obviously really didn't happen until that final weekend, in my opinion.
Would Clemson now be a favorite over LSU too?
Yeah. Yeah, I think in a lot of people's power ratings, including mine, LSU right now is the third best team. And I think people would find that unfathomable. I'm going to get a little dive in just a little bit here. Even though most of Vegas's power ratings have LSU, the third best team, right now LSU is the favorite to win the title. So hear me out on why that's the case. I mean, it just comes down to the semifinal matchup. The fact that LSU doesn't have to play one of the other two teams, being Ohio State and Clemson, the fact that they have almost, I'm not going to say a bye, I'm not going to disrespect Oklahoma, but the fact that they have a much easier path to just the national title game makes Clemson the favorite to win the title, even though I think a lot of people would have them behind Ohio State and Clemson.
Wow. I was looking, but it was a Yahoo site, so I don't know if the numbers are as sharp as they need to be. But I saw this morning Clemson still -2 and LSU -13. Is that the case, or has it moved any?
That's about where the numbers are at right now. And obviously Clemson took early money. Very early money. The fact that everyone's talking about Ohio State opening up the favor, there might have been 2-3 bets that moved that to Clemson. So I think people overreact to that. But, yeah, right now Clemson's a 2-point favorite, LSU a 13-point favorite.
And is that about right for LSU, 13? You agree with that?
Yeah, I got it probably 12. I mean, I'm waiting because there's a few places that have it 13.5. If I get a 14, I'm going to take Oklahoma. And I also might talk myself into the under. I mean, let's face it, the public doesn't want to bet unders in the game involving Oklahoma and LSU. But I do think both teams' defense is down the last two, three games of the season, certainly made strides. And when you're dealing with a total, you know, 75.5, 76 in an all-important semifinal game, I'm going to lean under and lean Oklahoma on that one. But I'm going to wait and see if either number, the favorite, LSU, and the total goes up a little bit.
We've got Jeff up in Chicago who's dialed us up right there on Lake Michigan. What's up, Jeff? Talk to Brad.
Hey, not much, guys. Hey, Brad, you know, I listened to your comments the last couple weeks about, you know, Alabama and betting them in a bowl game that, you know, quote-unquote doesn't matter and what they've done the last couple times. And you're, you know, as you are, most of the time you were, you know, dead on with those comments. However, I guess when I look at, you know, this opponent with Michigan in the way that they've played in bowl games, their last four bowl games, the fact that they're practically the ones who invented, you know, this thing where guys are sitting out in bowl games, I guess, like, I look at this number, right? Like, I don't care if it's Alabama's second or third team. Like, I just decided on Monday this number's only going to go up from 7. I'm not going to sit around and overthink it and try and talk myself out of it. I mean, I just went super heavy on Alabama because if there's one thing that may motivate Nick Saban in a bowl game like this, the Citrus Bowl, I feel like it's Jim Harbaugh on the other sideline. I mean, does Nick Saban want to be the only guy to not cover a bowl game like this in a, and I know he's not thinking about covering a number, but you know what I'm saying? Like, Harbaugh kind of like gets people's best effort because of the way he is and stuff. And I just don't see a scenario where Nick Saban is going to allow his team to lose to Michigan. I mean, I'm heavy on Alabama here. And I want to hear what you think. If you're opposite, it's probably not going to change my mind, I guess. But I don't see any scenario where Alabama doesn't thump Michigan here.
Okay. Appreciate it, Jeff.
Yeah, you're certainly, and appreciate the call. You're certainly not alone. I'll tell you what worries me. If you just look at betting percentages, the most popular choice, side or total, right now in the market is Alabama -7 against Michigan. About 85% of the tickets are on Alabama, and yet the line hasn't moved really. In fact, it did tick up a little bit. There was some 6.5s early, but it's been pretty much 7 here for a while. I agree with you if you're looking to bet Alabama. I do think the number is certainly the chances of it climbing, going above 7, are certainly greater than it dropping. Although I will say there's a lot of professionals that I think would gobble up 7.5 on Michigan, whether it be a pure power rating, whether it might be a concern on Alabama's past motivation in these games. But I think you bring up the big point. You know, keep in mind in the Utah bowl game and in the Oklahoma bowl game, games that Alabama actually lost, I mean, they were laying a little bit more than just a touchdown. They were laying double digits. So maybe that was part of the reason why Alabama really didn't take those opponents seriously. I think they should be taking Michigan seriously here, and I'm not going to argue with it. I'm certainly not going to bet Michigan. I just don't think Alabama's a high-value pick just because I think everybody in the world wants to bet Alabama in the game.
Well, and we still don't know, I guess, do we know what players might sit out? Or
I haven't seen anything yet on either one of those teams. So I think, what was it, Uche? I think he's going to play, even though he's declared for the NFL. That might have been the only one that crossed my viewing as far as reading articles so far. We'll probably know a little bit more next week. So I'll probably be more inclined to get involved more next week than anything.
When it comes to bowl games, and I guess we talk about this every year, but do you wait till maybe the eve of the bowl game to bet it? How do you determine when the number is more attractive, when we're out of the regular season and into the bowl season?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think earlier the better, but obviously you're running that risk now with players deciding to sit out more than ever before. I mean, 5 years ago I said earlier the better, just because the numbers are going to sharpen up as you get closer to game time. That's any week, Bill. You run that risk. I mean, if you ask me during the regular season, I always say the numbers are going to be softer on Sunday, but you always run the risk of injuries happening or whatnot throughout the course of the week. But the injuries could also happen to the team that you're fading. So there's always that side of the handicap. But generally speaking, I think the more you can get in front of some of these lines, the better. But the one thing that's worried me here the last 4 or 5 years is the trend of these players sitting out.
Rob in the 210 says, Bill, ask Brad which team is the biggest surprise making a bowl and which team is the biggest surprise not making a bowl game.
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to have to look through and see. Illinois probably would be one that comes off as far as one that made a bowl game. I mean, season win total for Illinois was 4. We'll talk about it. I mean, Navy's playing this week. Their season win total was 5, 5.5. The fact that they can go for 10 wins, I mean, they've certainly overachieved just about as much as anybody in the country. So Navy, Illinois, as far as surprises, making a bowl for me. Teams not making a bowl, I mean, Nebraska probably is the first team that comes to mind. Their season win total was 8. That was super disappointing, the fact that they couldn't even get to a bowl game. So Nebraska is the first team that comes to my mind.
Tell you what we'll do, Brett. When we come back, let's go over, and this will be a good lesson for the audience, some of the team totals you took this past spring and summer.
Okay.
And how that turned out, just as far as learning. And we'll also discuss Nebraska, because I think we all thought that this would be year two, a much improved year. It did not turn out that way, and the lessons we can learn from that one as well when we come back. Brad's with us, BradPowerSports.com. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still seeing quite a bit of traffic volume here, making its way 24 westbound up by Harding Place, coming in from Rutherford County, Smith Springs, and Murfreesboro Pike on a 2-car crash blocking that intersection. Still heavy here on the 440, trying to squeeze through the construction here, especially at the 65 split. Princess Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
My buddy James Warren is with me in studio, class of 1977, Battleground Academy, and owner of Sir Speedy, now Sir Speedy Music City. I know you've changed the name, but the service continues to be terrific.
We are the same people that you've come to love, and that's Sir Speedy Berry Hill is now Sir Speedy Music City. We did that just to be a part of the community that we're in and show our love for Music City. Even though we go all over the Southeast, we do most of our business here, and we love this city.
Phone number and the website.
615-832-9511 or SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Who was the company that heard the ad?
Donut Distillery over in East Nashville heard the ad and said, if you know George, then we'll do business with you.
Boy, that is scary. But here's the bottom line. You go in and see them, and when you do, you tell them Plaid sent you.
Could you use a little extra money for the holidays? Jackson Hewitt is ready to help, whether you have unexpected expenses or last-minute gifts to buy. Starting December 18th, come in and ask a Jackson Hewitt tax pro how you could get up to $500 fast with an early refund advance 0% APR loan by MetaBank. All you need to get started is a pay stub or other proof of income. Find out how we can help you get money on a prepaid card fast before the holidays. Go to JacksonHewitt.com to learn more. That's JacksonHewitt.com. Terms apply.
This is Johnny Ballpark Franks inviting you to join me Saturday, December 21st from 9 a.m. to noon for a special bowl edition of the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Lanham's AC Service, your local Rube Pro partner, Penn Station East Coast Subs, real estate agent Richard Courtney, Enns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, Casa of Nashville, Fine Preston Law Group, Lindell Jewelers, Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, Braza Flooring, and Picasso Auto. That's Saturday morning, December 21st at 9 on Nashville Sports Radio.
Five state home. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Chance at some rain after 8 a.m. this morning. Otherwise, cloudy skies and we'll get up to 49 to wrap up your work week today. Could see showers before 11 o'clock tonight and then again after 1 a.m. Cloudy skies and down to 41. Another shot at some rain to kick off your weekend tomorrow. Most of that will happen before noon. Cloudy skies and 50. Sports Radio WNSR.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Brad Powers, BradPowerSports.com will let you know how you can get all his information. He will transition over to basketball, too. He does football and basketball. Brad, some of the win totals that you took this last spring, summer, and how they turned out.
It was a winner as far as season win total best bets, and I'll just generally speak about the ones I gave out in the newsletter in the July issue. You can download that, all past issues for free. BradBowerSports.com. Just click on the Bill King tab. Stack ranking. I stack ranked them. I took Purdue under 7.5 wins. Obviously, that was relatively easy there. But I will say this: I'm always looking to why that one, and for me, obviously, Purdue decimated by injuries. Purdue's a team I'm going to be buying in 2020. I think Purdue's going to be one of the most improved teams in the country, and I'll likely have a Purdue over ticket in 2020 after betting them under this past year. You know, a couple other teams, Cincinnati over, that was easy, even though Cincinnati won a bunch of close games. 6.5 was the number that was out there, them winning 10 games relatively easy. A couple that I missed on, specific Colorado got me, and, kudos to the job that was done there in the first year under their head coach, Mel Tucker. And got me late in the year. I mean, they won as a 2-touchdown underdog against Washington. Season win total is 4.5. They win 5, so they exceeded expectations from what I expected. And then UCLA was a miss for me. I thought they'd get to a bowl game this year. And that one, was, in my opinion, was dead in the water when the Bruins lose to Cincinnati and San Diego State early in the season. Even though they had a little bit of an uptick in October there, UCLA was a big miss for me.
When looking at a team like Nebraska, and year one under Frost, 2018, they had some losses, but they looked good in some of the losses, and they looked like they were improving. Many of us thought that meant year two would be a pretty significant improvement year. It did not turn out that way. Defense was awful. What do we learn from that? Because do we need to calculate more about if a team looks like they're improving, but there was still a portion of the season where they played poorly, do we sometimes not take that into account enough?
Another good question. I think with Nebraska, I mean, it was the way, it wasn't the last part of the season where they, it was that they looked poorly. It was, progression. Hey, this team just couldn't get over the hump. They were losing some close games, and they were so much improved in the second half of the 2018 season compared to what they looked like in the first half. So it made sense to me that the trend line would only continue up for them with a second-year coach. I mean, a lot of people point towards year three. It's actually year three might be the epitome as far as, kind of the peak of where that program is under a new coach. But as far as the biggest jump from wins to losses, usually it's year two if you study coaches last 20 years or something. And that's where the big jump is, at least. And the fact that you didn't get it at all. And in some instances, I thought this year's Nebraska team was worse than last year's team. I mean, but both didn't make it to a bowl game. But statistically speaking, eye test said, the 2019 team took it even a step back from 2018. That to me was stunning and wasn't alone. I mean, in some instances, Nebraska's season win total was like 8.5. So, I mean, a lot of people very surprised by the performance of Nebraska this year. But, Bill, one thing I'll say is, I mean, teams, it's not going to change for me. Teams that lose a bunch of close games, you know, are better than their record indicates. I mean, throughout time, I'm always going to want to play on them in the offseason, thinking that last year they were much better than their record.
Round Man down in Marietta says, ask Brad, are there any teams that haven't been to a bowl in a long time that made a bowl this year?
Again, Illinois would be one, and I'll have to go down the list here. Obviously, Liberty's never made one. For them, Illinois was it's been 5 years. Charlotte's never made one. They should be relatively excited. Kent State's only been into a couple bowl games in the last 30, 40 years of that program. So that's a team that's going to be relatively excited to be there. Looking down the list, it's funny, Bill. It's not like what it used to be when there was 15 or 20 bowls. A lot of these programs, it hasn't been too long. They've at least had one 6-6 season in the relatively recent past history where they made a bowl game. Yeah, I don't see anybody else. My Ohio should be relatively they haven't made a bunch of bowls here in the last decade. But few and far between at this point, Bill. It's easy to get to 6-6 in a bowl eligibility.
Speaking of Charlotte, their coach is Will Healy. He's a Vanderbilt guy. He was at Austin Peay, did a good job there, and then in Charlotte in 1 year has done a very good job. Now, again, I'm not handing him the Ohio State job tomorrow. I'm just saying every school tries to find an alum that could save them when they're struggling. The interesting thing will be, and I know Vandy's not a huge part of the audience here, but the interesting thing will be if it comes to a point where Vanderbilt's looking and Will Healy's on the list, even though he's an alum, I wonder if he'd skip over that knowing that the chances aren't real good to win.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know either. He's young. I think when you're young, I mean, you're a little, in some instances, naive. I mean, look at a guy like Lane Kiffin. I think he takes the challenge, takes the job, especially if, let's say, it's, you know, after next season. I need to see another year at Charlotte just to see what that progression is. But so far, so good for him. I would say he might take on that challenge, but you're right. You bring up a good point. Who would know the challenges of Vanderbilt or the, you know, the weaknesses more than somebody that's already there? And I mean, maybe he doesn't and doesn't want to take that career move. But if you're in your early 30s and you're a rising star, I mean, why not have an ego that, hey, I could do this. James Franklin did this. Not too long ago. Why can't I go in there and make a difference?
Brad Powers, Brad Powers Sports. Now, Alan down in Tampa said, ask you about Florida State's win total for next year. I don't think that might be early, but here's a little spinoff on that. You can answer that if you want, but a little spinoff on that question. I like the Lane Kiffin hire, and I like the Mike Norvell hire. I do not like the Sam Pittman hire. But let's just go Florida State and Ole Miss. Could their win total, if we're looking again at win totals this next spring and summer, be a little inflated because of the enthusiasm, or does Vegas not play that game?
The public will play that game.
Right.
The opening number won't necessarily reflect that because it's going to be all about numbers for the most part. But throughout the course of summer, when you got, you know, there's a lot of people aren't betting baseball, no disrespect there, but when you got June, July, and August leading up to the season, you know, people are flying into Vegas from time to time, or they're in Atlantic City, and you got all those alums there, and they're excited about their new coach, they'll inflate the numbers. So certainly the overs will take money, in my opinion. No season win totals out yet. We're still, let's get the bowls done here. I love college football, though, Bill. It's always about what's up next. I mean, it's even when you're winning, it's never good enough. It's always about what we got coming in, recruiting, and what's always on the horizon. It's never – people in college football, and I'm certainly a part of this. No one, it seems, whether it's really good or really bad, ever lives a lot through the moment. Like, even Alabama fan, I'm hoping they really really enjoyed these last 10, 12 years because enjoy the moment and enjoy the run. It's always about what's on next, it seems, with college football fan.
Oh, I know. now, what did you think? Because everybody, fans automatically pretty much endorse the new hire because they feel like, well, they're obligated to. But, again, emotionally, they're at a disadvantage. So the new guy comes in, he excites everybody. What did you think about Arkansas, a struggling, mightily struggling program, hiring Sam Pittman?
It certainly doesn't move the needle like Lane Kiffin does. I'll have to see how he finishes up recruiting. And this is, I know that it's tough for a lot of these coaches. I'm going to look more at the February class. I'll have to see that, see how he fills out the staff.
Right.
I'm not quick to judgment. I know that doesn't sound great for a radio segment. I need to see what it's like, even spring practices, and get a little bit of a feel. But certainly on the surface, that doesn't move a needle. Like Lane Kiffin, to me, whether you like him or not, he moves a needle, and I think in a positive direction. I mean, obviously he did a really good job in Florida Atlantic, and I think certainly on the recruiting front, and he'll be a mover and a shaker.
Brad Powers with us. Hey, Brad, tell everybody about your service and how they can get your information.
Yeah, bradpowersports.com. Dead top of the page, you're going to click on the Bill King tab. Once you do so, again, download all past issues in the newsletter. If you want to look at season win totals, I'll tell you, it's in that July issue. All the season win totals are in there. If you want to see the season win total results, they're actually in this week's issue. And if you're interested in this week's issue, you can get the rest of the season for $49. It's just not college football and the bowl games. It's also the NFL. 3 weeks left of the NFL. You got the whole NFL playoffs, $49 through the rest of the season. BradPowerSports.com, Bill King tab at the top of the page.
More Brad as we continue. Goggin Cold Hall Studios here in Wilco, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Moving a wreck right now out here on 40 westbound, right past Fessler's. Smith Springs and Murfreesboro Pike still tied up on the scene of that accident. Traffic's still moving right now, 65 up through Brentwood. Still a lot of traffic coming in from Dixon County, however, but that's been in pretty good shape. 40 eastbound up through Kingston Springs. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out this weekend, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Coming this Christmas, a man.
Hey, Bill King here.
His listeners.
Robin, the 210.
And Biscuits.
I don't know if we realize how fortunate we are to have Music City Todd. That is a world-class facility.
Winter is coming.
Commitments 2019. Wednesday, December 18th at Bar Line in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue South, downtown Nashville.
We appreciate you. You appreciate WNSR.
Join the Bill King Show and celebrate National Signing Day.
Oh, my God. Bill King just read my tweet.
For more info and commitments gear, log on to WNSR.com and get your special commitments rate at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Commitments 2019 from the Omni Nashville Hotel, the Bill King Show, and WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Winter is coming.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Bold statement. Saving money with Geico is almost better than watching football. Think about it. When you're watching the game, yelling at the quarterback to throw the ball, throw it, Williams is wide open, why are you doing this to me? Use that rocket arm, come on! They don't listen to you. But if you went into a Geico office and yelled, "Someone please help me save some money on car insurance," everyone would hop to it. Except the intern, because it's his first day and he doesn't even have a computer yet. See? Better. Switch and save with Geico. It's almost better than sports.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap, even here in the off season, believe it or not. Now, last week was Champions Week from Nashville. We will recap that as well as a ton more. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hey, this is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Double Mint Camry. And you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And be sure to like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. You'll get everything you need to know right there, every single weekday, right here.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
Bill King Show, brought to you by the palatial, lovely Nashville Hotel.
Brad is with us, BradBauerSports.com. Gary Joe Collins up in Tim Couch, Kentucky country, says, Brad, Wildcats and Hokies in the Belk Bowl. He says, last number I saw was Virginia Tech -3. He also includes Kentucky shredded the only ACC defense it faced this year. What are your thoughts on that game?
2.5. So Virginia Tech's favored by 2.5. There are some threes out there. So, I mean, that's a good lesson right now. I mean, 3 being a very key number in football. You know, if you're looking to lay it with Virginia Tech, go ahead and lay the 2.5. Shop around, get the 3 if you're looking to get Kentucky. Haven't completely dived into that one yet. I mean, you know, early impression would be that to lean with the Kentucky side here. But obviously emotional on Virginia Tech being the last game for Bud Foster. Virginia Tech certainly, both teams really played their best ball this season down the stretch of the season. I mean, Virginia Tech does have a, you know, 2-3 weeks to prep for, you know, a mobile quarterback. And Virginia Tech's, you know, used to it because they see it in practice with Hendon Hooker and company for the Hokies. So, tough handicap right now. That's one I'm going to have to dive into next week and in the next 10 days or so and see if I can find some value. Right now, nothing screaming, you know, high value for me.
Couple of other hires I wanted to ask you about. One would be Eli Drinkwitz to Missouri from Appy State, and Steve Adazio, who was fired by BC recently, got the Colorado State job. Your thoughts there?
Neither one's overwhelming. I mean, if I'm doing a, you know, a letter grade, Drinkwitz is probably in the B minus range. I did a great job at App State, but I mean the resume. NC State did a good job. You know, came over from Boise State, but only 1 year as a head coach. You know, again, not one that moves the needle for me. Overwhelming, again, like a Kiffin does at Ole Miss. Adazio, you know, I'm not sure that he got a really fair shake at Boston College. I thought he actually did a decent job. It wasn't a good job that he did there, but I think it was. I really didn't see him getting fired. I mean, their season win total was 6. They won 6, so I thought Adazio, for the most part, met expectation at Boston College. Colorado State, again. You know, not very familiar with the area. He's been more of an East Coast guy. Adazio has been, so it doesn't have a lot of, you know, ties to the region here. Again, doesn't move the needle. It's kind of, I don't want to say underwhelming, but, you know, it really didn't, you know, me saying, oh, wow, you know, great hire for Colorado State.
How shocking or was it not shocking that Utah lost the way they did to Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, it was shocking. Just Utah isn't a team that gets crushed like that, or at least, you know, defensively, they tend to, you know, hold teams in check. I mean, it was stunning, their performance. And it goes to show you when, you know, I would have said it was one of the most important games in the history of the school, and they looked a little tight. They were certainly outcoached early. Oregon, you know, running the quarterback, Justin Herbert, a little bit. That seemed to take Utah's defense off, catch them off guard a little bit. Offensively, I thought the play calling was bad on a couple of those fourth and shorts. They got outcoached. I mean, and obviously Oregon, you know, athlete-wise, has a little bit more than Utah as well. Yeah, it was stunning to me that basically have a no-show in one of the most important games in the history of the school. Yeah, I certainly didn't expect that.
Chubby says, ask Brad which teams are viewing their bowl game as a party versus business and which team that you expect won't show up during the game. That's tough, but are there a few teams that look like there's really no purpose here other than it's a bowl game?
Tough, yeah. I think we're early in the process. I get context clues throughout practices and whatnot, reading the tea leaves there. Again, it's early. We're only in 5 days. The beauty of bowl handicapping is you got several weeks to digest through that. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think if there's one that's kind of disparate, it's probably the Camping World Bowl. I think Iowa State's super excited. I mean, their fan interest certainly is to play Notre Dame for the first time. I mean, and then I look on the Notre Dame side. I mean, when in the history of Notre Dame football has Notre Dame won 10 games and only played in the Camping World Bowl? I mean, certainly in their history, they win 10 games. They're in the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, not the Camping World Bowl against a 7-5 Iowa State team. I think because of that disparity, I'm looking a little bit more towards the Iowa State side in that bowl game.
Well, now here's another angle on that, too, that actually supports perhaps what you're saying. Chip Long is out as the offensive coordinator, and I don't – do we know what the plan is? Who's caught? Maybe – well, there's talk about elevating Tommy Reese to that position.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
tell you, Bill.
How about that?
I mean, I read that. Notre Dame is not the same that I came up with. They're just, I mean, to me, it's just that's just not winning championship football. I mean, just that. And to be perfectly frank, I didn't think Chip Long was a problem. The problem is the head guy's offense. I mean, he hasn't been able to figure it out for 10 years. It's funny, whenever he gets a good defensive coordinator, I'm talking Brian Kelly, I mean, they figure it out on that side of the ball. But yet, here we are, year 10, still can't figure out consistency on the offense side of the ball. That's Brian Kelly's problem, not a Chip Long problem. So, I mean, we'll see. I'll say one thing. Matt Campbell, I get it, lost some close games this year, but that tends to turn around and turn a 180 as far as Iowa State losing a bunch of close games. I could, with Brock Purdy, I mean, he's a very good quarterback, and Notre Dame will have to be assignment ready on defense. Yeah, I like Iowa State quite a bit, but here's the issue that I'm running with, Bill. I think the public is going to love Notre Dame here. They're going to see 10-2 Notre Dame laying 3.5 against a 7-5 Iowa State team. I think you'll be able to find a little bit better number if you're looking to bet Iowa State at this point.
No core down there on the Emerald Coast says, what about the Las Vegas Bowl, Peterson's last ride? But he says the Huskies missing two key players so far.
Yeah, and that's – I bet Washington early when the line came out. That's the problem you run into. And 24 hours later, two of their best players sit out. I mean, I want it – to me, Washington's better than their record at 7-5. I mean, if you just take bits and pieces, whether they be games, individual quarters, I mean, Washington to me looks like a top 15 team, but there just hasn't been a consistency there. They already have the coach in place, so I think that there's going to be laser focus when it comes to practices with Jimmy Lake handed over there. I mean, we even saw it with, Ryan Day last year with Ohio State. They came, out of the gates like their hair was on fire in the Rose Bowl against Washington. But, the fact that they're missing a couple players, Boise State's legit. The issue that I have is, Boise State had a really good season, and they're just now coming back to Vegas for what seems like the fifth year in a row for them. How excited will they be? I think they'll be excited to play a guy like Chris Peterson. Certainly Harsin's got some history there with Peterson. Really good bowl game. I'm going to go to it. I mean, it's a Saturday night game on ABC. Hopefully the weather's halfway deep. It's not too cold. But I like it. I think it's one of the better early bowl games of the entire calendar for this season, and I'm going to go to the game.
Did the committee get the seeding right in the playoffs?
Ooh, good question there. No, I mean, I'm just going to go off my power rankings. I would have kept Ohio State at one. And then it really doesn't matter at that point. The semifinal for me would be Clemson and LSU. So, I mean, I would have Clemson won. I mean, if we're just going pure power rating. But I understand you got to take into consideration Clemson hasn't really played anybody. I think Ohio State, if you just start, ticking down, looking at who they beat and whatnot, LSU probably played a slightly tougher schedule, but if we're just looking at marquee wins, top 25 wins, not necessarily No, what was the ranking, at the day of the game, but what's the ranking right now in the College Football Playoff Committee rankings? I think Ohio State's got one more top 25 win than LSU. I thought that the Buckeyes were punished for one bad half, a little too much, in my opinion.
I want to go back over this again, just for people transitioning over to the show right now. Clemson, LSU, and Ohio State. Let's go with those three first. Who would be the favorite over each other in that group?
Yeah, Clemson obviously right now favored over Ohio State, so that's pretty much clear. But right. Clemson would also be favored over LSU, probably by a little bit more. I'm thinking maybe an extra point. Clemson probably around a three-point favorite over LSU, so Clemson favored over both. And then if Ohio State and LSU are playing on a neutral, I mean a really neutral. I'm not talking neutral like the Sugar Bowl. That's another advantage for LSU this year. If it's Council Bluffs, Iowa, I mean, at least in my power rings, I would have Ohio State the favorite.
How much does Vegas take into account LSU if they're in the championship game in New Orleans? How much or how many points does New Orleans give or add to LSU's number in a spread?
At least a point and a half, maybe more. They haven't played there a lot here recently. It's probably similar to what they're getting now. You know, the fact that they just played in Atlanta and they're going to turn right around and play there again, it's probably pretty similar where the market's giving them about a point and a half for the Atlanta game. At least a point and a half. I get it, the crowd and whatnot. Maybe it's 2 points. Nothing more than that, though, Bill.
And Oklahoma, we already know they're a 13-point dog. Let's say they pull the upset and they play Ohio State or Clemson, what would the spread be? Be more than 13?
Even though you're going to have to put a massive upgrade on Oklahoma at that point.
Right.
I mean, Oklahoma's still going to be a double-digit underdog in the title game. Probably, since there'll be a big upgrade for Oklahoma for pulling that outright upset, and even though Ohio State and Clemson are better than LSU, probably going to be in the same similar range, 13, 14-point spread there.
Tell you what we'll do, we'll choose this. Matt Smith says, guys, have you talked Army-Navy? We have not. We need to do that when we come back. We'll tease that. More Brad as we continue on this Friday edition. He's with us every Friday during this hour block. Goggin, Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Latest wreck's going to be over in South Nashville near those apartments at Tampa Drive and Harding Place. Also, a wreck being cleared 65 southbound. It's right near the 24 split as you work your way down from the north. Smith Springs and Murfreesboro Pike trying to recover from that earlier wreck. Still not too bad right now on 40 East here up by Charlotte Pike coming in through West Nashville. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out for lunch. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary Valet parking is always available.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. I watched a Derrick Henry that got better with each carry to the point where in the third quarter, fourth quarter, defensive players like, I don't want to get hit by him again. You're on defense, you're used to hitting players? No. Derrick Henry was punishing players so much that it was to the point where they were just like almost quitting.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Chance at some rain after 8 a.m. this morning. Otherwise, cloudy skies and we'll get up to 49 to wrap up your work week today. Could see showers before 11 o'clock tonight and then again after 1 a.m. cloudy skies and down to 41. Another shot at some rain to kick off your weekend tomorrow. Most of that will happen before noon. Cloudy skies and 50. Sports Radio WNSR.
The best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show.
Brad Powers from his site, bradpowersports.com, with us. Army, Navy, Brad, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll lay the landscape. Obviously, it's out there. Under's been the way to go for a long time here in this game. 13 straight unders in the series. Average cover for the under, 15 points per game. 13 straight. But I'm here to tell you that it's kind of priced into this total at 40.5. I mean, if you just extrapolate the two teams' scoring averages for the season, I mean, this total price should be more in the mid-50s than sitting here at 40. But it makes sense. You got two teams that work the clock via the option offense. You got two defenses that are, you know, well equipped to stop the option. I don't think it's high value as far as the under there goes. Where I think that there's some value here, I'm going to take Army plus the 10.5. I get it. Navy's, been super impressive this year. One of the most improved teams, if not the most improved team in the country. And on the flip side, you got an Army team that probably is the most disappointing team. We talked Nebraska early. I forgot about Army. I mean, Army season went to what was 9.5, and they're not going to a bowl game. So Army's one of the most disappointing. But, I mean, they can make their whole season here with a win. They don't get the win, but I think they get the cover here plus 10.5. Army's the pick for me.
What was Navy's preseason win total?
5.5.
Wow.
So the chance that they,
wow,
you know, they got a chance to get to 10 here. So certainly they would be among the teams that exceeded expectations more than any other team in the country this year.
I forget, Brad, you told us once or twice on the show, what's the big, you know, just, you can just give us a couple, but what is the biggest win total succeeding what your win total was supposed to be in the preseason as to what it turned out to be?
Yeah, I think if Navy wins, they'll be at it. Four and a half games right now would be the highest, and then that being the high side, exceeding expectations. Central Michigan's in the mix right now. They were four Wednesday and 1-8, so they doubled theirs. As far as, you know, not meeting expectations, it's Army. You know, if they lose this game, and obviously they're a significant underdog, I mean, 9.5 season win total, you win 5. That 4.5 difference would be the biggest disparity as far as teams this year.
I know we don't have forever stats, but I thought a couple of years ago, and maybe I'm just dreaming this, I thought there was a team you threw out a couple of years ago that had a 3 or 4 and ended up with 10. That even exceeded what Navy is doing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back through there. Yeah, if memory serves correct, I mean, the biggest I've seen is probably six games
or
so exceeding expectations. I'll have to go back. That's a good off-season project for me to find out the biggest, you know, the surprises and disappointments from a season win total. And I can't go back. Unfortunately, I can't go back like 30 years on it, but it's something I can go back at least, you know, probably 7-8 years. Bill.
Okay, now here's one that comes to mind. It may or may not be correct. What about a couple of years ago, Frost's team at UCF, his last team?
And that's probably his last season. You're right. Season win total for them was like 6, and they won 12. So that's like a 6 right there.
Yeah. It seems like there was another one, but I can't. It's not registering at the moment. But that is an interesting little stat. I mean, it shows you how – well, I mean, you can certainly exceed expectations by a game. But when you start exceeding by 4 or 5 games, that's very rare, isn't it?
Oh, certainly. I mean, Vegas is supposed to, you know, be kind of the not that we don't see huge movements, but Vegas a lot of times accounts for it sometimes in the line. So, you know, say a team was, you know, only won 4 games last year, you know, but, you know, they're expected to be improved. Well, Vegas is going to take that into account as far as the season win total. Maybe their season win total is 6. So, you know, maybe they double their season win total from a year ago, from 4 to 8, but maybe the season win total is 6 there. Vegas usually has a good handle on what teams are going to be improved and whatnot. The fact that you can take that expectation, Vegas's, and then exceed by 4, 5, 6 games, yeah, then you're starting to talk about, you know, historical-type seasons as far as improvement.
Brad, we'll let you out the door. Tell everybody one more time how they can get your information. And when will you start doing more basketball?
Yeah, basketball will probably be built right around January 2nd. As soon as January 1st is pretty much over, right around January 2nd is when I go full gear on college basketball. And obviously that's coming here in the next couple of weeks. If you want to finish out the football season, NFL College, it's called the Powers Picks Newsletter. $49 is the price. You go to bradpowersports.com, you click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
Appreciate it, Brad. See you next week.
Right back at you, Bill. Take care.
Always good. You know, one thing we have not talked about at all this week, and I probably meant to get to it, but you've heard my thoughts on it many times. There's another, and I told you this would happen. I don't remember. Is it Larry Scott got this started maybe or something? But there's a supposedly more discussion, back channel discussions about an 8-team playoff, which I told you eventually they're going to get to. There's no doubt about that. And it was the old, we'll tie it in with the P5 conference winners, which is a terrible idea, and then some at-larges, etc. Just a horrible idea. Tie it in with winning your league. That is such a – there's too many exceptions that can happen. They'll, you know what? They'll probably do that. I'm so against it, so they've got to do it, right? They'll probably do that. What an awful idea. God almighty. But you already know my opinion on that. Yeah, I'm not for expansion at all, and they will expand. Yeah, because these leagues that are getting left out. Now, again, expanding doesn't really help their league. You got to play better football and you get in the playoffs. How about that? I don't think some of them understand it. We have that. That goes on the TSSAA too. TSSAA back in the 80s got really mad. Well, the public schools with them, because Brentwood Academy was whooping everybody. And they were relatively new to the scene. It was a private school, allegations of recruiting and everything, which probably did go on, but they were whooping everybody. And the public schools, along with their buddies at the TSSAA, and the TSSAA, I don't know the makeup today, but it was all public schools, the board. So they would vote, basically ways to get away from Brentwood Academy so teams could win a championship and wouldn't have to go through Brentwood Academy. And they twisted and turned and molded and through the years. Now we've got, is it 6 classifications? I think back then we had 3. It's pretty screwed up. And we don't have the population base to have. And we've got a pretty good population base now, but not to have 6 classifications. But they do it anyways. So I've seen this before. It's amazing that and I'm a big fan of football and most football coaches, but it's amazing how they have no problem twisting and turning the rules so it can facilitate their better path to a championship. Why not just be better than your opponent? But a lot of times that's not the way it's taught. I've never understood that either. But, yeah, we never even got into that this week. That was a thing, but we had many other items we wanted to get to. Commitments will start actually on Tuesday the 17th. The actual commitments, the show is the 18th. 5-hour show. 17th, start checking into the Omni, and we'll have a big get-together in the Bill King Suite. You're invited. We'll have some freebies up there, like beer. Yeah. Yeah, there'll be some adult stuff up there, adult beverages. If you want to grab a beer, we'll have it up there in the suite. Next day, we'll do the show. 5-hour show, as I mentioned, 6 until 11. We'll serve you breakfast at Bar Lines right there in the Omni. It'll be wheeled in a buffet style from Kitchen Oats. Delicious breakfast. That is also complimentary. Just come by. Just come for the free stuff. If you've ever dreamed of, okay, how about free beer and breakfast? You'll be getting that. Yeah. Now, the bar at Bar Lines, which will open early during the show, well, that's not free. No. If you want to stay at the Omni, we can get you a fantastic rate of $169. Click that link at the top of my Twitter feed. That's where you get the link. That's where you get the good rate. If you're not on social media, email me, billisking7@gmail.com. If you're not on email, I'm thinking you're probably not really functioning real well out there. I think you've got email. Yeah, email me and I'll send you that link. At Crazy Charlie 615, at Billisking. Lodge Bob.